Hello and welcome to Geekcaster Radio. This is episode 198 or something like that, but it's 198 according to my numbering. Anyway, whatever. As you just heard, I'm Mike and I'm a retired podcaster. I have a problem, apparently.
He's at Podcasters Anonymous.
Yeah, exactly. The problem is I don't have my computer, so I
can't.
Lack
of access.
Yes. It's surprisingly easy, though, to edit a GCR in post on my phone. Not that I didn't think it wouldn't be, but...
Well, it should be. I designed it that way.
I know you did. I'm not saying... You know how phones are with certain things? I didn't.
Oh, yeah.
I just assumed because phones are supposed to be so bad at stuff. Unless you're playing, I don't know, Pokemon Go or something.
Who does that?
I.
That sounds disgusting.
Pokemon go to the bathroom. Ugh.
And I've killed Mike.
Well, I was retired, so I might as well be dead, too. So, yeah. I don't remember what I said in the last episode of the podcast.
I don't remember where I was.
I know you were in Colorado. I'm fairly certain because we recorded at the end of last year around Christmas time or whatever. So I know you were already in Colorado. You guys had already moved. So yep. I know that much. I don't know if Karen and I were in the hotel in Illinois still, or if we were out here in the hotel, because we didn't actually find the apartment we found until January 1st of this year. And basically, this episode is to serve as like just a general conversation between you and I and whatever else. And the title of the episode that I've come up with is 2020, Here We Are, because this is a brand new decade. It surprises me that... It does and it doesn't. I mean, obviously, you started, what, 2006, 2007?
It was 2006.
2006. I started 2008. The network launched 2009. So technically, the network is on the end of every decade, as far as that goes.
It's on the cusp.
Exactly. It's on the cusp of every new decade. And I do remember one thing about the last episode. I did say at some point we would do the 2019 year in review / decade in review with lack of access and lack of being able to actually physically write anything out.
And not dying.
Yeah. Without access to actually be able to write anything out or anything like that, we're not doing well. We'll do it at the end of this year or something. Like, from the last decade to the end of this first new year in this decade or something. I don't know. So what have I been doing in my podcast? Son of a bitch. What have I been doing in my podcast retirement?
Don't die.
It's going to be a running gag, folks. I can only imagine what kind of animal sounds he's going to put in this.
You never know. You just never know.
Mm-hmm. The good thing is this is tagged explicit, so I can say fuck if I want to.
Yeah, and the best part is I'm probably not going to edit.
We're professionals. Yeah,
2020, here we are.
That's right. So, yeah, it's great being out here. Fuck. I thought I left Illinois so I wouldn't die, and now I get out here and I'm choking to death.
Well,
so
you are what you eat. Chicken nugget.
Yes, it's a chicken toe.
The YouTube song, chicken nugget, chicken, oh, chicken nugget, God, nugget.
No.
I'm going to be funny about that.
Yeah.
We need that song at the beginning.
No, you need to just take that song and just sing it as Waspinator.
That's not as fun, though.
Or Meat Wad.
I haven't done Meat Wad in so long, I don't even know if I could replicate it. That's the funny thing about it.
So you know, we found our apartment. It's a nice little apartment in downtown Vancouver, Washington. We have a view of the mountains, and we can see Lake Columbia or Columbia Lake or however they call it, whatever. So basically, once I actually submit the paperwork, I might actually be working for the newspaper, which is literally right across the street from us. That, you know, I have to submit the paperwork and see if they even will hire me, because I haven't had a job since 2010. While I do count the podcast work, I haven't had an actual physical job since 2010. The weather here is great. I mean, it rains, but the temperature doesn't – at night it gets down to – like tonight I think it's supposed to get down to 28 or something like that. But the daytime currently, it's like maybe the high of 57, which is great for me considering that from 2017 to now, if it gets anywhere above 70 degrees, I puke.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So so what have I been doing with all this free time that I used to have that I obviously ended up, you know, throwing my life into podcasting? Well, between the time we left Illinois and now, I've marathoned all of the Fast Saga films with the exception of Hobbs and Shaw, because I haven't seen that yet. I marathoned in timeline story order. So Captain America takes place 44, 45, whatever it is. So in the actual Marvel Cinematic Universe timeline, I marathoned all 13 years of Marvel movies. So I can safely say I've seen every single Marvel movie at this point that Marvel Studios has done.
Nice.
Some I still absolutely love, and some I probably will never watch again. Not that they're bad,
I feel like I've graduated from that now, that they've ceremoniously offed Captain America and Iron Man. I feel like I have no resonating reason to return to the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
There's a couple of things for me. One major thing. Anthony Mackie as Falcon / the new Captain America. I'll be interested to see what they do with him as that character. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, the Marvel Cinematic Universe was, you know, basically Civil War was the coin. You know, Tony on one side, Steve on the other. You know, so there's that. And it was basically all about those two guys. Yes, it was about every other character that was in it. But, I mean, mainly the two main story points focused around Tony Stark and Steve Rogers. For the most part. Let's see. I have not read, except for one issue, I have not read a single comic since moving, which is sad. I'm trying to keep up with news and everything else. Like, we've had, like, Toy Fair and both London and New York Toy Fair at this point now. And, I mean, conventions are almost dying as of this recording, though. Because everything's being pushed off because of the beer virus.
Yeah, what's funny about that, actually, is people are making a mountain out of a molehill. And I say that with the utmost love and sarcasm. No, I say it because people are losing their minds over it. And it's honestly, it's like another flu. And if you look at Lysol... Mm-hmm. It's been listed on there for a while. So it's not like it's a thing that doesn't exist or isn't bad per se. But if you're over, you know, 60 some years old, yeah, you should probably watch. Or if your health is in, you know, you've had cancer or something and something that's going to drastically affect your immune system. yeah, this is going to harm you. But if you have nothing wrong, like, that's why kids, for the most part, aren't really catching it. They're getting more of the, like, the general adults. Cold and sickness yeah. part of it, but they're not getting, like, the fatal part. And so I feel like people are making this huge thing out of it where it's not necessarily warranted. Not saying that that people shouldn't be careful and shouldn't, you know, wash their hands, or if you're, you know, coughing or gagging or something, that, you know, obviously you shouldn't be around other people. But the way that everyone is going about this, I feel it's a bit drastic.
Yeah. Yeah, and Karen pointed out, she said, how is it that we need people or the government or whomever, or whatever, the CDC, whatever, to tell everybody to wash their hands? Like, it's 2020.
Well, I saw a meme that joked about that, and it says, what, people are just now starting to wash their hands?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, come on.
But the thing is, too, is we're so... on the other side of the spectrum, we're also attached to this notion of constantly scrubbing our hands, that there's a natural antibody that's in our bodies that is meant to fight off just basic germs.
Yeah.
And by not allowing them to work, we're essentially creating our own issues when it comes to these immunity things that are coming up, and they're like, oh, you're going to die because you can't, you know, you can't be around this because, you know, your immune system sucks. Well, you've kind of done it to yourself with years and years and years and years and years of all of this more or less garbage that we're just constantly scrubbing on our hands.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying I don't use it. Like, there's obviously times that where you should use it, but there's times too where it's like, okay, you got your hand a little dirty, you know, you're not going to die from touching your mouth or something. Like, it's different than if you're, like, out in public per se.
Yeah. It's so funny because, you're talking about some of the memes with it. One of the memes I saw was,
the Rob Paulson one.
No, I didn't see that one. I saw something else. What I saw was Scorpion, stay over there.
Yeah, I saw
Scorpion, stay over there.
Stay over there. No, I saw one, which, funny enough, it went Google's places that the coronavirus has not hit. And then it scrolls down, and then it shows a picture of Yakko. And then it goes, takes deep breath, and it says, you know, Haiti, Jamaica, Peru.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah, I did see that
one. And I thought that was quite humorous. And I posted it. I posted it on my Twitter, or reposted it. I says, I don't know who came up with this. I says, and it's kind of wrong.
Yeah. But
I said it's hilarious anyway. So... I said it's kind of in poor taste given the circumstances. I said, but it's still funny. And people were they're like, yeah, it's kind of early, but they're like, it is funny.
That's the same thing with the Scorpion one. It's basically a picture of Scorpion.
Finish him.
It's a picture of him in his yellow and black getup. At the bottom, it has, available in many colors, stay over there. And it's basically a yellow surgical mask around his hood. It's hilarious.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not, you know, trying to dog on anybody that's contracted.
I'm not either.
It is horrible. But the thing about it is I feel like the media, just like they do with politics, they blow things way out of proportion, and this isn't any different.
Yeah, the over panicking is the problem. Luckily, I'm a recluse and I really don't like going anywhere, so I don't have to worry. I mean,
so I wonder if,
anyway.
Well, speaking of this, it kind of makes you wonder if Netflix is finally going to get what they want, in that it's going to kill the movie industry because nobody's going to go in risk of getting this. And that means that people will more or less pay more to Netflix or these other streaming services to get the movies from there rather than going to the movie theater.
Yeah. I mean, I'm already like, we've seen the, I mean, so living in downtown Vancouver, Washington, mm-hmm. we are maybe a 20-minute walk away from the theater. It's a 7-minute, 5 to 7 minute drive. So it's not like it's not really close, but we've already seen probably the one movie we're going to go out and see and pay theater prices to see. And that was Bad Boys for Life. So most likely I can wait until it hits whatever streaming service it's going to hit, whether it's Hulu, whether it's Netflix, whether it's Amazon Prime, whether it's Disney Plus, whatever. I'm in no real – would I like to see Fast 9 in theaters? Yes. Am I going to? Most likely not. It's just not worth it. I mean, monetarily it's not worth it, and just going to the theater, it's just it's not what it used to be to me. It's not as special as it used to be.
I don't have any reason to go to the theater anymore for the most part, to be honest. And not that I didn't like going. I don't have that kind of time anymore.
And, well, yeah.
And to be honest,
it's a job. And,
yeah, yeah, I mean, to be honest, there's nothing I really want to go see. Like, bad enough to have to pay that kind of pricing and sit around other people. Because honestly, like, I honestly don't care to go to the movie theater anymore. Not only because of the whole, the sicknesses and everything, that doesn't really bother me as much. It's more so the inconsiderate banshees that are sitting there with all of their crinkly stuff, or they're just talking, or they're on their phones, or they're just, you know, just people that don't, you know, aren't decent human beings when they go to the theater. And so honestly, I just don't care to go.
Yep. I know you don't have this luxury, but this is why I love going at like noon on a Monday, because nobody's going to be there. Maybe three other people besides me. And we can all have our own little corners if we decide to go to the same film or whatever. The other thing is, people know this about me. People should. I mean, I know you know this about me. I'm a control freak. I'd rather wait the 6 months, a year, whatever it is, get it on whatever subscription service or Vudu or whatever, and be able to start the film, pause it, come back, whatever, later, and not worry about it. And not worry about having to sit, lay, stand, whatever, in the same position for 2.5 to 3.5 hours. When we went and saw Bad Boys, my back was killing me from sitting there for 3 hours in that seat, because they weren't the most comfortable seats either. And it was a higher price show. That's what pisses me off now about the movie theaters, some of them anyway. If you're going to charge, let's say, $12.75 a ticket or whatever it is for a regular showing, it's not a 3D showing, it's not a Dolby Atmos, it's not this, it's not that, it doesn't have, you know, cocktail service at 5 or anything like that. It's just a regular showing, regular 2D screening, charging that amount of money or whatever it is. And the seats are, at least in the one that we went to, are just regular old 1990 theater seats. They're not recliners. They're not this. They're not that. I could see paying more for a ticket to go to something that is, you know, not necessarily leather, but, you know, leather reclined seating kind of thing. I understand paying for that, but just paying for what used to be a dollar theater seat? No, thank you.
Mm-hmm. No, and I totally get it. I honestly do, because we, like around here, they have mm-hmm. premium theaters.
Right. And I'm sure they do here as well. It's just the one that we went to was, you know, it's 5 minutes drive down the road. I mean, why would you, you know, it was just the one film we were going to see. So why would we go, let's say, across the river to Portland, Oregon, to find a better theater to pay that? I don't know. It's all kind of, I guess, pick the battles. But, you know, in the end, I would rather just watch it at home, honestly.
Yeah, that's kind of the same boat I'm in.
Yep. Let's see. What else have I been doing? Like I said, I'm looking at some jobs and other jobs. I started a LinkedIn profile. And
yeah, I saw.
That's the one thing. The one thing I don't like about the job stuff is, like, I understand they're trying to be helpful, but I don't need 17 emails about tips.
Oh, you can turn those off.
I know you can. You can unsubscribe. I'm just saying, like, I wish that was a thing when you first set up your profile to look at the, I guess I should have looked at the email preferences myself, but it's like, oh, unsubscribe, unsubscribe, unsubscribe. You want to give me job notifications of jobs in the area? Sure, fine, great. You know, and I'll apply and whatever and everything else. I don't know. I just feel like I'm in a slump. I just feel like I'm in a rut. Cause I'm not doing, like, by this point, I would have had the pullback would probably reach 500 episodes by the end of this year if I had my computer and whatever else. And for anyone wondering, it's in storage. We were going to bring it with us, but we had our car, or the car that Karen has, we had that transported out here from Illinois. And the transport company was like, don't put anything above the window line and do not put anything of major value in the car at all. So the computer went into storage. We used Pods. Pods is very expensive. We were paying monthly storage fees, which is fine. We knew we were going to have to do that. But to get the pod out here is going to cost $2,000.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have $2,000 anywhere. I can't. That's the other thing. Because supplemental security income is supposed to just supplement your income, but I was born disabled. Hell, I was born brain damaged. I had brain surgery almost a year ago. You know, you can't exactly live off of it. And they have rules that say you can't – not even that you can't make. You cannot have a certain amount of money at all. Like, I can't set up a savings account and have, let's say, $500,000 in there at all. Because Social Security will say, well, you have the – those are your resources. You have those. So your benefits go away. I'm like, what? it is what it is. I mean, I am excited for the new year. I mean, the new year has kind of already arrived here. But, you know, since January, you know, February and now March, the funny thing is I feel like this year – January, February, and March have gone a lot faster than they usually do.
Oh, yeah.
I remember a couple of years ago when we were talking about whether it was the year-end show or whether it was the first show of the new year of whatever this podcast or whatever other podcast we were doing at the time, we always say January, February, and March, they go by so slow. We're already at March 7th, and I'm like, oh, spring is right around the corner, or, you know, whatever. So, I don't know. What have you and the family been up to? What kind of adventures are you getting into out there in Colorado?
Mostly just, we've had like little adventures. We built a kids' playset, which we went and bought from somebody that had one for sale, because they were moving, and unfortunately, that meant we had to put it back together. So I was a part of that, as was Mary, and that was her whole ordeal was setting that up. And it, it's it turned out nice, honestly. But yes, we moved into our house in the end of January, and we've had everything unpacked for quite some time, but we're little by little whittling away at other little projects that we needed to get done. Like, for instance, I have a nice little desk set up now, and microphone arm that holds my microphone at face level instead of at my desk. And so that's kind of nice, having it extra close. And then I'm working on getting a studio thing put together around in my basement. So, but yeah, and then doing more voices and playing around with that. Took a voiceover class. Funny enough, the reply I got from the coordinator, and I wrote on my form, you know, that I've done voiceover. I've been doing it, and just not professionally. Right. Although technically I am professional in a sense because I'm on a radio program. But anyways, we took this class and everybody was mortified that they had to do a voiceover example. Like, basically they had to do it on the spot with scripts that nobody had ever seen before. And
oh no.
So they put us in pairs of 4 to 5 people based on the groups, and gave us a script that we had to do, and then didn't have to memorize it, just had to read it. And so we did it, and you know, my group was interested just because, and so was everybody else. And me, having had a few productions under my belt, was very familiar with the process. And so basically she was recording, the coach and the instructor was recording everyone onto a track, and then would put a music bed on it and show like what it would sound like if it was done. Cool. And then do like a live critiquing. And so anyways, the response I got was, "It was a pleasure having you at my class, Stephen. Here is my evaluation of your voice. You have a really solid voice. It's nice, resonant, and deep. Definitely marketable sound. As far as performance goes, I think you have a good handle on the basics of proper pitch and pacing." And then they coined this other thing called smile. Basically, like, if it's supposed to be like a happier tone, you should smile while you're saying it to get to dial up the dimension in the voice.
Right.
Which I sometimes have a hard time because I get super serious when I'm speaking. Or I just don't put emotion into my face and it's in the voice. But I could see the merits in it. So anyways, you know, she mentioned that, said it's easy to master with practice. Overall, really loved your sound. Great to listen to. And so, and then that's when the sales pitch comes in, is after that. So, I would be interested in something like that, except I don't have any kind of money to actually pile away into that, into actual like voiceover classes and a demo and, you know, things like that. Because it's something I'm still very much interested in. And I'm working on new impressions and new impersonations of actors and accents. And I really want to get into learning more accents and dialects, because I feel like I could ramp up some of my different sounds of voices by having right. performance capability, but I don't. I mean, I can mimic an actor or their yep. intonations, you know, like Casey Kasem, like I kind of got his cadence down to how he speaks when he, you know, in a sentence. And I was trying to figure out how I came up with that. And I was doing a monologue in my acting class in college, and, I listened to Casey Kasem, and then I memorized where he, you know, like about every third or somewhere between 3 and 5 words, he'll have like a dip in how he speaks.
Right.
You know, like, every time I come to a city, you know, and then he just kind of stops, and then it kind of goes in a different direction, and yep. then he does the same thing again. And so like, I kind of memorized where that happens in his vocal pattern, and then was able to translate it to the script. And so that's kind of the boat I'm in now, is I have to do that with a British voice. And I realized that if I'm doing like Cockney British English, uh-huh. it's super lazy. It's almost like Michael Caine is a good example.
Yep.
He's very much like, and it's considered like a lower class London British accent. Almost in the same way that a Southern drawl would be considered here in America.
Yep.
You know, kind of frowned upon, even though it's total crap. Cause it's just how people talk. To get the more regalistic version of British, it's basically like their R's are like as, and in certain ways that they pronounce the vowels, you know, like instead of Ben, how we say Ben, it's Bean.
Yep.
You know, how I have been, you know, and so it's just, it's changing the pronunciations of certain types of words in certain ways the vowels and consonants work together. And so, like, I've been kind of practicing and playing around with that, and I was like, I don't have a British voice, I gotta do it next week. And then I started, like, I was talking to my kids, and then I just bolted into one that I'd already been doing. And it just, I was like, oh, okay, that works. And so I just have to add a little bit of what I learned and read about and into practice, and so hopefully that takes effect. I gotta do that on Tuesday, so... but yeah, so it's, I've been trying to play around a lot more with that, and I've been messing around with the graphics stuff and kind of trying to not spend as much time watching television. because I got in a funk myself for a little bit, and I was just binging Netflix.
See, here's the funny thing, folks. Steve and I have basically flip-flopped on each other. He has the big old desk. I currently don't have a desk at all. I'm watching more TV and movies, and he's trying to cut back.
That's all right. But yeah, so I mean, yeah, the only thing I've been watching more so than anything else is Star Trek Picard.
Yep.
And I've been enjoying the crap out of it, to be honest. And so
I really want to, I'm hoping I can look on CBS's YouTube page and hopefully they'll show a clip. I want to see the clip of Crusher and Number One.
Which one?
From the latest episode, Frakes and Surtis.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The Rikers.
Yes, the Rikers. There you go.
It's a good episode.
Yeah. I just want to see them. I don't really care necessarily to see the whole episode. I just want to see them. That's all I want to see. I mean, because...
That episode, I will say, it has some ups and downs. But on a whole, I feel like that episode... gave us the most TNG feeling episode that we've gotten all season. And cool. It felt great.
Awesome.
So, and on Future Imperfect, we're doing like breakdowns of,
don't forget those spoiler warnings, heaven forbid.
intentionally that show is spoilers. But we're doing them. The funny thing is we're doing every three episodes, we're doing a review. And yeah. So by the time we've done that, everybody's seen the first three anyway, because the fourth one is coming, the next one is coming out.
Right. Yep.
So now at this point, there's four episodes remaining of the season as far that we have not covered. And one of them has been released out of that four. So once we get down to that point, it'll be fine.
Yep.
But, yeah, I mean, we got hammered pretty hardcore on Twitter, even though it was things that had been out for a while. Yeah.
I understand all the points and whatever, but we're not going to get into that. What's so funny is, you know, you talk about memes and everything else. I've been seeing a lot of memes lately, and one of them was, at first I thought it was a news story because I got really scared about it. And it's this meme about Pedro Pascal, about the Mandalorian,
mm-hmm.
the guy that plays is supposed to play The Mandalorian. It says something about Pedro Pascal has basically broken his back for holding up the Star Wars universe on his own.
Yeah, because everybody hates the rest of it. Have you seen what's been going on with the Emperor?
I've seen some articles, something about one of the novelizations or something, that Rey's father was a failed clone or something or other.
First, and this is my whole point with this, and I'll let it go after this, but I was like, you know, they just keep milking Palpatine. And the funny thing was, is they meant to actually bring him back in The Force Awakens, but for whatever reason they weren't allowed to or didn't. Which I feel like would have given resonance of, like, okay, so what happened in the last 20 years and why is he back? And 20, 30 years, whatever.
Whatever it is, yeah.
But instead they bring him back in the last film because everybody was like, you know, basically Snoke was a puppet of Palpatine, which I feel is like almost one of the failed experiment clones that he was driven through because, as they reveal in the Rise of Skywalker, Palpatine's body, because it's so decrepit, it can't handle his essence, as it were, his Sith essence. And so essentially he theoretically was living in Snoke.
Yeah.
And he was floating through the helmet, and he was, you know, so when they did kill Snoke, he was no longer alive in that body and went back to his, you know, crazy one that's plugged into the big machine and all the fluids pumped into it. But I think it's funny that, you know, first people are reeling because Rey is related to Palpatine. Then it's believed he had a son. And they're like, okay, well, how is Captain Decrepit going to have a son that's perfectly normal and then have her? Then it's revealed that he's a clone. Now, a failed clone is the father, but technically still him. So he technically fathered his own granddaughter in a fashion, in a certain point of view. And it's like they just keep milking it. And it's like, why wasn't all this crap in the story to begin with?
What they have done is, at least for the mainstream media film stuff or whatever, they have, because it's supposed to be the last of the Skywalker saga, whatever. They have painted themselves into a corner that they're never going to be able to get out of. And instead of focusing on new things, they're constantly backpedaling on what they've already done. It's the same thing that George used to do with adding in, like, the special editions, adding in things or taking things out or changing things around. Disney isn't even waiting, because when the special editions came out, they were 1997, right? Somewhere around there, 96, 97. So, okay, so Star Wars was 77. Empire was 80. Jedi was 83. It took Lucas 14 years to mess with his own thing, to try to upscale it or whatever you want to call it, fix it, whatever the hell. Disney isn't even waiting a number of years to do things because of the way they've done the story, whether it's JJ or not. I don't care. I love certain parts of his work that he's done on other things, but I don't care what director it is. I don't care what writer it is. Thank God the Skywalker saga is over, and maybe now, maybe, they will actually give us something new within the galaxy.
Well, they're supposed to now at this point.
They're supposed to, but just because they're supposed to doesn't mean they will. The Mandalorian is great. I mean, I know there are certain people out there that feel like there are certain flaws with the show and whatever else. That's fine. everything has flaws. Everything in this entire world has flaws. But for the most part, The Mandalorian is an enjoyable short-form television series that ran 8 episodes for the first season. And in those 8 episodes, they were able to pack in so much per episode. It feels like, at least to me when I was watching it, it felt like a full-on movie each episode. Basically, you go back to what Bruce Timm and Eric Radomski said about Batman the Animated Series. They wanted it to feel like each episode was you're at the Saturday matinee movie and you get 3 acts, you know, for every whatever the time breakdown is for the 22-minute episode or whatever it is. You get 3 acts and you feel like you've seen a movie, but it's a cartoon. Same thing with Mandalorian. I wish that they would do stuff like that more. Stop with the Skywalker stuff. And now, hopefully, because it's over, it's finished, whatever. Now, Lucas originally envisioned it to be 12 films, right?
No, I think 9.
Was it always 9?
Yep.
Okay.
But this trilogy, well, I feel like everybody gave George Lucas crap after the prequels. And I feel like had George Lucas been able to do the sequel trilogy, I feel like people would have been, especially knowing what they're seeing now, I feel like they would have been that much more appreciative.
Yeah.
Of George.
Yeah, probably.
But it's hard to say because if he'd had the chance to release them and not had the Disneyverse, he would have been raked over the coals something terrible. You ruined our childhood. You destroyed Star Wars for me. And now everybody's blaming Disney instead.
Yeah, of course.
And George is he's like, hands off. I didn't care for this trilogy anyway, so.
I got paid. I'm okay.
Yep.
You know. And honestly, I know Star Wars is his big thing. Like, I know he's done other stuff, obviously, like American Graffiti and things like that. But that Indiana was, you know, Jones. Years and years. Indiana Jones, yeah. Oh, don't even get me started. Seriously?
I don't even like that series, so it doesn't bother me.
They're going to do a 5th one. I've heard so many rumors and things about 5, and I'm like, please no.
It's going to have a different director, too.
Well, yeah, that's fine. They
kind of have to.
Yeah. Like, okay, you take Star Trek 2009. You take Iron Man. You take Captain America the First Avenger. Hell, you take Avengers from 2012. Yes, all of these are pre-existing properties, but each person that was either writing or directing brought, and this is intentional when I say this, brought their own flair to it. And it could have just been a one-off movie. Obviously, the Marvel stuff couldn't, but like Star Trek, we didn't need Into Darkness. Beyond was okay, but we did not need Wrath of Khan 2.0. And I just feel like there needs to be more, I'm going to say originality, but it's Hollywood and
they don't have an original bone in their body.
Yeah, kind of. At this point. I am more interested, right? Like, I still love all my properties. I still love Transformers. I still love Star Wars. Star Trek, I'll say I'm a Fairweather fan. I'm a casual fan, obviously. I have been my whole life. I've never, like, you take you and I and put us in a room, you're going to know every single line, every single ship, every, I might remember 4 things from my childhood watching Next Gen. But the thing of it is I have all the franchises. I have all the this, all the that. I can go back and watch what I like watching from those franchises. I don't want recycled crap.
Well, and the other problem I've noticed in we were picking apart Star Trek Picard is it seems like the writing is getting lazier on everything we watch. And I say this because it's true. And like how I threw that in there. What bothers me specifically about these shows now is you're getting our generation in there, or these people that are so out of touch with the property or don't even know the property, and they're just like, eh, it's another franchise we're associated with. The problem I'm seeing is that these organizations that are doing this don't fully understand the property that they're handling. And so looking at Star Trek Picard and to some extent Discovery, you have people that really don't have any like television writing credits under their belt. They're like authors, but they're not television writers. And I'm not saying that they shouldn't get their shot too. I'm getting at is that some of that just doesn't translate. And the problem with it not translating is that it doesn't resonate. And if it doesn't resonate, then it kind of sucks and doesn't fit the storyline.
Yep.
And that's kind of the boat we were getting in, is that, you know, we like the show for what it is. It's great that they're back on TV. The level of grit in it, you know, okay, that's kind of the show that we always kind of joked about and kind of were like, yeah, we'd love to have this show. But the execution was terrible because you've taken what was, and yeah, some of it's more storytelling, some of it's pushing the envelope, some, but you look at it and we're approaching that era where, you know, the programming is not up to par. And I hate saying that because, like, I do commend these people for their efforts. But I don't feel like it's as good as it could be. And like, they're basically, like, in everything that they're making now, it's like, okay, we're using the tentpole, we're using the characters, but screw everything that came before. Because it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And that's the vibe I get from it, and so it kind of, in a sense, irritates me. And it's partially, you know, alienating people.
Yep. I'm not saying, and I don't think this will ever happen, but if they eventually do a fourth film for Star Trek...
They won't.
Okay. If they eventually do another new, like, I don't know, Melvin Universe or something. Who knows? Whatever. If they start a new Star Trek film thing, I think Star Trek needs to go back. And as cheesy and corny as this is and was, Star Trek needs to take a note from Star Wars and get into animation again. You could still, as long as
there's... Star Trek is getting an animation. The problem is, it's going to suck. Because it's basically Rick and Morty in space.
Oh, Lord.
You're so far out of the touch of it that you don't even know.
Okay, so it's going to be Rick and Morty in space. Now, I'm not a fan of Rick
and Morty. Is doing Star Trek Lower Decks.
Lower Decks?
That's what it's called. It's basically going to be focused on the people that do the menial jobs on the ship, you know, such as scrubbing toilets and, you know, the ensigns and the lieutenants that are doing the, you know, I gotta clean the warp core, or I gotta do, you know, just not that that happens in the show, but again, it's gonna be more comedy driven and more animated and just kind of goofy looking. It's not gonna be what we had. Even the stuff that they had in the 70s was kind of garbage, but.
Okay, that's what I was going to say was, look, take it for what it is, for what it was at the time. Look at 70s animation. Star Trek the Animated Series fit into the rest of 70s animation. You have to look at that in its time. What I'm trying to say is They should take a note from Star Wars. Do a Resistance, do a Rebels, do something interesting. Because to mine, I've only seen like maybe a handful of episodes of Star Trek, Star Wars, Rebels. I think I saw maybe 5 episodes or 6 episodes from the first season. And to my knowledge, and you can always correct me because you've watched it more than I have, those were all original characters to the series, correct?
For Rebels?
Yeah, for Rebels. Yes. The kid, the giant little, the giant Chewie-looking blue guy and whomever else.
Well, that was actually the original version of what Chewie was supposed to be.
Okay, well, whatever. I'm saying, though, those characters in Rebels were all original characters within the Star Wars universe that didn't focus on Skywalker, Vader, whatever. You do that with Trek. Sulu would be the perfect person, really, to do it with.
Well, you know, that's the thing, is they are developing things with different casts, but they're all going to be different characters taking place during the same time spans as something. So, like, a lot of this stuff's going to be during the 24th century, which, again, is fine. But you're still going to end up with people that you don't know, and it's and again, I don't have a problem with that. But you know, you're going to end up with some kind of weird elements, you could say.
Yeah, but look at Mandalorian. The weirdest element on that show to me is the child. Is it Yoda? Is it not Yoda? We're pretty much sure it's not Yoda. They only call it Baby Yoda is because they don't have anything else to call it other than Baby Yoda or the child. And Yoda is a marketable name, obviously. And he has little force hands and force powers and whatever. But the thing of it is that show gave us a whole other side to Star Wars that had nothing to do. It had a little bit to do with the Empire, but it really had nothing to do with Skywalker, with Obi-Wan, with Jedis, with this, with that, with whatever. It had to do more with exploring the Mandalorians and all of that. So, I know this is going to sound stupid, but have a Klingon series. I know they probably already have had one, or like Klingons versus Romulans or something, or just do something different. Don't just try to take the legacy characters. Because look, as much as we don't want this to happen, all of the legacy actors at some point are not going to be here anymore, just like the rest of us. We're not going to be on this earth forever. And at some point, whoever is left on this earth once we are gone, they're going to have to come up with some sort of new thing, because unless they digitize everybody now, there's no way that these franchises are going to be able to rely on the legacy in the future.
Well, the thing about Star Trek is, it's continually building at itself, whereas some of these other ones don't.
True.
And yeah, Star Wars does. But again, you know, it's still different. That's all I can really say about it.
This is why I like comics for certain things, specifically Star Wars, Star Trek, Transformers, whatever. You can tell whatever story you want. You can put whatever characters in you want. You don't need... Okay, then.
You don't need what?
This is what happened. You don't need to rely on the actors or actresses for comic books. You can just go with the characters and tell stories with the characters and not have to worry about it.
True.
You look at the 2015, and Ryan and I have done the first two volumes. You look at the 2015 Darth Vader series that Marvel did. It's basically set after his first failure with Star Wars. But then it goes into this whole other direction. It doesn't... It did not really... I don't know. I've only read the first two volumes. But the first two volumes, after they said, oh, well, the Death Star blew up, it then told a story of his redemption, or him trying to get back on the Emperor's good side or something or whatever, and his own plans and his whatever. It focused on Vader, but it did not retread ground that was already done. So I'm all for these franchises exploring stuff in comic books. You look at Transformers right now. Now, I have not read the new IDW ongoing Transformers that Brian Ruckley is writing. I believe his name is Brian Ruckley. But I have read the new Spotlight series that they're doing, which is Transformers Galaxies. The first four issues are about the Constructicons. Mm-hmm. It's easily the most interesting Constructicon story we've ever had. And the next new arc is starting now, and they're starting with Cliffjumper as kind of like a... Basically, IDW in their first incarnation of their universe, they had spotlights where these were supposed to take place at a various other time and spotlight a character that they wanted to spotlight. Well, now, Transformers Galaxies is basically the new spotlights, and they can do character arcs for those characters that they want to spotlight. And I really dig it. I think it's interesting as all hell. And yeah, I'm all for the franchises we love to do comics more than film or television or anim. I mean, animation, you can kind of get away with almost anything, but you still need, if you want Jean-Luc Picard, you still need Patrick Stewart.
Oh, yeah. And I'm not saying that you don't. But yeah, I mean, it's still there's only a limited shelf life for that.
Exactly. Let's see what else. Two things that I'm interested in that I'm going to eventually be watching. Actually, something I have been watching recently is, and say what you will about this, but the magazine Vanity Fair, I've been watching their YouTube channel because they've been doing these things called career timelines with certain actors. Mm-hmm. Each actor has their own episode. I just watched Anthony Mackie's, and he and Samuel Jackson have a film that is sadly an Apple TV Plus exclusive called The Banker, so I'm interested in that. Netflix, I think, a couple months ago released this series called You.
Okay.
On there. I don't know if it's something you would want to actually watch, but I don't know. I'm kind of interested. Basically, it's remember that very short-lived one-season CBS show called Stalker that was out a few years ago that I covered on Remote Control? Vaguely. It was Maggie. Okay. Basically, take that with the stalking. You know, people trying to, you know, give awareness about how to not be stalked or how to avoid being stalked. You is basically from the point of view of the stalker.
Okay.
So it's, I don't know, it feels like it's super interesting to me. I know there have been two seasons of it so far on Netflix. As for me, what I'm watching and stuff, I'm just going back to the well and watching most of shows that I've seen before, because I prefer to live in TV land that is older than 2 years. I've seen Crisis. I think we talked about Crisis last time. I don't remember.
I don't think
talk
so.
About it another. Okay. Well, either way. I don't know. I can't think, folks. I have no brain.
TFG1 Mike, and he approves this message.
Yeah, buddy. I don't know. I will say that I have been, in my retirement, I have been listening to a lot more podcasts. Obviously, I've mentioned before on this show, and I've done several specials with him on this show, Terry Smith and his show, Music Talks. I've listened to The Fortress of Baileytude, which is my buddy Michael Bailey, his podcast network. I've started listening to stuff on the Fire and Water podcast network, certain things. So, yeah, I guess I'm just getting back into podcast listening, because here's the thing, and I think I've said this before, because I say everything multiple times, folks. I listened for about a year, maybe 2 years, and then once I ramped up production on my own stuff, how can you listen to – how can you find that – even with all the time that I have on my hands, how can you find the time when you're producing 20, 30 podcast series at the same time? I've can't really.
Too much time on my hands.
So I think that's going to do it. Just wanted to, I guess, exercise the vocals, still see if I could actually talk on a show or whatever. And I don't know, I'm sure there's a lot of other things. But again, without my computer, even with my computer, I lose focus at times. But without my computer, I just can't. Not really prepared, unprepared, whatever kind of thing. I will say this. My new, and I think I said this last time too, for me at this point now, listening to podcasts, Spotify is my number one platform to listen, as long as the show is on there. I know there are some shows that I've listened to that aren't on there yet, but as long as I can find it on there, I will listen for the most part. I've listened to several like Michael Rosenbaum's Inside of You just had Brandon Routh on. That's an interesting listen for anybody that wants to hear the former Superman talk about that.
Interesting.
Yes, very, very cool. So I think that's going to wrap it up for this episode. Where can the people find you online, sir?
Well, they know where they can find me.
Oh, they know where they can find you.
Yes.
You mean Twitter hasn't released your name yet?
No. No, they honestly suck for that, because like, I've been trying to get that released, and they're like, yeah, we don't release them. They're hostages. No, more or less what they told me is, thanks for bringing this to our attention. It appears that you're requesting a username rather than reporting an account that's impersonating you, which isn't what I said in the first place. I said, I'm asking for an inactive account. I said, I'd like to have that username, being that the account has never been used.
Yeah.
They said, and then they sent me, thanks for reaching out. The username you requesting is inactive or suspended. We can't release a username to you or to be used on another account at this time. We appreciate your understanding. And I was like, no duh, it's inactive. It's been inactive since 2008. I'm like, I'm trying to get it now. You know, 12 years later.
What are you trying to get, Stephen C. Phillips?
No, I'm just trying to get Steve Phillips.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So why don't you try changing yours to Stephen C. Phillips?
Because it's already taken.
Everything's
taken. That's why I have SCP-21 in the first place.
Yeah.
But their policy is so stupid.
Yeah. I mean, you've been known as SCP-21 on Twitter since you joined.
I want it for more so like the VO purposes of it. And it's just easier. All right.
Let's do a little experiment here. Yes, this is live podcasting, folks, at its finest. So, looking at your profile on the Twitter client app for Android, It says, obviously, you have your name listed, you have the microphone next to it, and it has your Twitter handle, but everything I see says Stephen C. Phillips. So, like, when you're, whether it's a retweet that you did or whether it's a tweet that you have posted yourself, it starts with your full name. Sure. So people see your full name there on your Twitter. I'm looking right at your Twitter.
No, I know. I'm looking at it too.
So, like, I don't think you, like, as long as you continue to list your full name there and it shows up, I think you'll be fine.
No, I know, but I want the other username too.
We all can't have what we want, folks.
I will get it. I need it. Don't need it, but I really want it. No, because, like, anything you type, like if I type Steve Phillips, joined June 2008, 4 followers.
Jesus.
Nothing. No post, nothing. Like, it's so absurd.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I see your point, but it's still kind of moot because the way you have your profile set up as your full name, it shows professional to me. Maybe you want to hire one of these other, you know.
Yeah, I'm just going to report them all as fake accounts.
You're still there?
Yes, I'm still there. Yeah, Skype at its finest.
Yay!
I'm reporting all of them as fake accounts. Yeah, take that, Twitter. It's fake. They're all fake.
Identity theft. Identity theft. Oh, boy.
I wonder if I can get this
one. All right, folks. Oh, no.
Going to do it.
Whatever you do, do not change your current one, because you may lose the SCP-21 if you...
No, I know. It'll be fun.
2020, here we are, folks.
Yes.
Unleash the geek in you, and we will catch you next time here on Geekcast Radio.
In that case, I say it is survival of the fittest.
You are an insulting, pompous fool. And if you were not an ambassador, I would disembowel you right here.
I didn't think it was physically possible, but this both sucks and blows.
And we're back.
We are?
For some unknown reason, I don't know why we're back, but we are.
Well, you know, the beer virus has gotten much worse.
My corona. Oh, wait.
Weird Al said he wasn't doing that. Yeah. But
I think it's funny, though. Not the virus itself, but...
Yeah. So, we recorded what you just heard, folks, before all of this massive stuff started happening.
Before the Chaos Bringer came before us.
Mm-hmm. Everything is essentially shut down.
The entire United States, the entire world, it's in the crapper.
Pretty much San Francisco is on complete lockdown, just like Italy is. San Francisco, the only thing that you can do out there if you actually work in essential jobs, so like hospital, you know, that kind of thing. They're basically telling everybody in San Francisco, if you have a non-essential job, stay home, don't leave. They're actually imposing a 24-hour curfew. The only time you can leave your house is for groceries and if you have doctor's appointments.
See, I almost wonder if this is like borderline martial law.
Kind of is.
Because it's kind of, they're saying that it's not, but I kind of think it is. And I'm wondering how much of our freedoms we're going to get back when this blows over. So... It's a little bit disconcerting to see this all happen. Not saying that I don't agree with them trying to flatten the curve, as it were. And I say that sarcastically because the fact of the matter is, whatever you decide to call this virus, whether you like the direction they're going or not, everyone's going to catch it. And I know that they're trying to lessen the blow on the healthcare system, and that's what happened in Italy, and that's why it's such a colossal mess there. But the issue that I'm seeing on this side of it is they're basically ordering you to not do anything but stay home, and it's going to tank the economy.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're causing jobs to purposely shut down. They're causing, for instance, Mary, she's got three other jobs that are outside of what I do. And and they're all part-time, and they're, you know, but essentially she has no work now. And that's just, you know, tip of the iceberg. You know, you've got people that are depending on it. Like, I've got a brother-in-law that works at a restaurant in Michigan, and he was told, as well as everyone else in that state for that matter, and it's happening in other states too, that all restaurants, all gyms, all bars, all this stuff is shut down effective immediately until further notice.
Yeah, the only thing you can do with restaurants is they will do
delivery.
Basically, takeout or delivery.
Which is still stupid, because when you think about it, the only ones that can work are, of course, the ones that are making it. But the thing is this virus lives on part of the particles of your, you know, your sinus cavity, basically, and part of your sweat and everything else. So if they're touching your food and they're infected, you're infected too. So it's essentially like a losing battle, and especially when they're saying that week after week, you're basically reinfecting, or you're not reinfecting, but the United States is doubling the infection rate, which it's only a matter of time before it shuts everything down completely, and the stock market's tanking, and the businesses are going down the toilet. And so we're getting to this point where if you're able to work from home, great, but essentially, now they've come out with this rule, and it started as like no more than 250 people. Then they changed it to 50 people, and now it's 10. It's going to greatly hurt everything.
Yeah, it will. My buddy Jesse Raz from Louisville, Kentucky, he is the morning show co-host at 106.9 Play there in Louisville, posted this on March 15th or whenever it was, a couple days ago. Like it or not, it looks like the majority of us will be self-distancing for a while. It sucks, but instead of getting upset, trying to figure out how this is someone's fault, why not use this time to better ourselves? A lot of distractions have been removed from our lives right now. Let's see this as an opportunity. Maybe pick up that book you never had time to read. Try a movie from a genre you don't usually watch. Watch a documentary. Take advantage of the millions of hours of educational resources, much available for free, to learn a new skill or perfect an old one. Wouldn't it be great to say that not only did we survive this, but we are now better because of it? There are things that, for better or worse, are out of our control right now. How you deal with those things is up to you. I just thought that was a really good kind of message thing that he, you know, posted, and to try to put some sort of, like, you know, everyone always complains about people just sharing memes or whatever, but right now in this country, in our world, on our planet, we need, I don't want to say a distraction, but we need a laugh. We need to find some sort of enjoyment out of all this chaos that has brought, that has been brought to us. And yeah. So,
yeah. And the thing about it is, and I agree, like, you should be looking at the positive part of it, and it is causing everyone to realign and try and figure out what's important in life. But it's also, you know, like, people that have never homeschooled are now homeschooling. My wife homeschools, so this was nothing new. It didn't affect her, but it does affect those that had to leave work. Now, of course, if you're one of those businesses that were told you're not allowed to work, now you're just not getting an income, but you're homeschooling. And so that's the kind of the trickle-down effect, because I don't know how they're going to do this with, because I doubt they're going to give everybody underemployment for this. It's, and if they did, it would be in it would take forever to get this under effect. It's not something that they're going to get done within a month.
Some
or two.
Businesses are having, you know, giving paid leave and that kind of thing. Others are not.
The ones that are able to. And that's the problem.
Well, yeah.
Most businesses can't afford that. And unfortunately, a lot of them are small business or franchised or elements of that. And that's going to tank all of them. And now if you work for a nonprofit, which depends on donations, people cut out donations first. And that is going to be another issue because I work for a nonprofit. And so this directly relates to me and it worries me in a sense because at the moment I am the sole income. And so because all of her jobs are gone and for the foreseeable future, and I have no idea when they're coming back. And they're saying that this could last all the way until August as far as the lowering the curve aspect. And I can tell you that it's going to be colossal nightmare, apocalyptic end of the world nightmare as far as people are concerned, because the way they panic. Yes, people could be looking on the bright side and could be, you know, like, okay, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to blitz this Netflix series, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that. And yeah, a lot of people that are in the entertainment industry are being cut out of jobs. NBC Universal looked on the bright side. They're like, okay, so we can't release our movies in theaters, so we're going to release them on our app, our streaming platform, direct to that instead of in the theater. And so that's what they're doing with some of their new movies that were slated to come out in theater this year.
That's what I wish they would have done with Fast and the Furious 9, because that movie wrapped up entire production and whatever else in November of last year. But it is what it is and whatever else. The thing with the sports, that has never happened. Yes, in the 90s, the MLB went on strike. Yes, there was an NHL strike. Yes, the NBA didn't play for a certain amount of time because they had a strike back in the 90s. But the fact that they're just completely stopping or until further notice kind of thing, some are just, you know, stopping the season completely and just start again fresh next year. Some are just postponing the season. It's just crazy. How can you think of the world at large, but more specifically the U.S., how can you think of this country without and NFL, NBA, NHL, and MLB? Yeah. By the way, Karen says hi. You don't, like, being a person who was born and raised in Boston, Massachusetts for the first 13 years of my life, and I know this is like this everywhere else, but to me, the Boston sports, the four major ones, the four major teams, say what you will about whatever team, whatever, it's religion. It's born, you're basically born into it kind of thing. And it's just on a whole other level in my mind. But without that, it's like, oh man, what am I going to pay attention to now? Cause you look at my Facebook feed, I'm always posting like Boston Bruins hockey recaps or Red Sox won, this team won, that team won, yada, yada, yada. I mean, I guess I could post more of my old podcast, but nobody pays attention to that crap.
Mm-mm.
So I do think that this is a time for not panic. Stress a little. Stress it. If you know someone or if you are someone that has contracted it, get the help you need. But don't over panic, please. We've in the last 3 days, my wife and I have been to 5 stores. All 5 stores, still no toilet paper. And I'm like, oh, they should just block the aisle off because there's nothing here. I understand that people are panicking, but do not over panic yourselves. We all collectively just need to take a breath and just try to get through this.
No, I mean, I agree. It's just going to take some time.
Yeah, and it's going to take time.
And the economy is probably not going to come back for a number of years.
So the other thing I said, I've said on Facebook before, and I half joked about this last year before all this Starbucks started, but I was like, oh, 2020, it's going to be the roaring 20s again. Everybody's like, no, it shouldn't be. No, no, no. Well, now it almost kind of is, because 100 years ago in the 1920s, we had Prohibition. We had the Great Depression. Look where we are now. We're just starting this decade off, and we've already got this worldwide panic. And it's just crazy. The last thing I'll say before we close, and I'll let you have your final word as well, is that, as I said a moment ago, try your best, people, not to panic. Please, like Jesse said, read a book, do something you haven't done before. Go to geekcastradio.com, listen to our content.
Shameless plug.
Well, I gotta fit it in somewhere, because every time I post, anyway.
The plus side, though, is I am noticing on my Twitter feed, you've got about 50% of the people now mentioning about, you know, the empty aisles and showing pictures, and which honestly is just fueling the fire at this point. Like, I'm not going to lie. I find some of the stuff humorous. But it's not, but it is. The memes are hilarious, not what it's making fun of. But anyways,
right.
But the same token, I'm seeing my Twitter feed get back to more or less what was there before this whole thing hit the fan.
Yeah.
Which is quite nice, actually. Other than people, you know, messing with the fact that everything's had to modify itself to function in its current standard because of the way this virus has come down.
Right.
You know, like WWE, how everybody's spazzing out about the different way they're having to do this.
I know you're not a WWE guy. At some point, hopefully soon, Alex, myself, Dodd, and Ryan are going to do an episode of Mayhem Mikes, finally, after all this time. I actually have Discord on my phone, so hopefully we're going to test that out to see how that works, and I want to test that out with you later. Anyway, as of, what was it? It was, Friday the 13th. March 13th, this past Friday as of whatever. Anyway, Friday the 13th in March of 2020, SmackDown was at the Performance Center in Florida with no audience there. It was just Triple H, Michael Cole, and everybody that was going to do the show. It was the most surrealist thing I've ever seen in wrestling. It was the craziest thing. And Monday Night Raw tonight, as of this recording, March 16th, will also have no audience. WrestleMania will also have no audience. It's crazy that all the other sports are like, we're just going to postpone, or we're going to, you know, cancel the season for now and come back at later. But WWE is just going to go with no people. I'll have to report back on another episode of GCR or something, or people hear the episode of Mayhem Mikes that we record later this week, you know, because it was surreal watching SmackDown with no audience. I watched like the first 20 minutes and I'm like, I got to stop watching this. It's too weird.
Yeah, it's a little strange if you're seeing it in that method. But yeah, I don't know. It's going to be different for sure.
Yeah, very much so.
There's a lot of stuff that's going to be different, after this. On the plus side, we got to see less, in-person meetings and more Skype meetings.
Yes.
Or emails, which I'm perfectly fine with.
Well, I mean, you know, it took us 9-10 years to meet each other in person, and hell, we both moved west at this point since my wedding. So
yeah, I mean, we're only one time zone different again.
Yeah, again. So, you know, so who knows? I don't know. The reason why we recorded this addendum, folks, is I didn't want to put out the episode without any of the new information that's out there. And like I said, you guys just listening, if you listen at all, to say, oh, these guys are asshats, because they didn't get all the info. Well, we did. We just recorded it two different times.
And you are what you eat, so remember what you say about us.
I like chicken. Anyway.
You pulled a Dodd. That's hilarious. So anyways, we're going to wrap this up. You can get a hold of us on geekcastradio.com and see our entire back library. If there's something you'd like to hear us cover on the next episode of the podcast, please let us know on the website post or on social media at geekcastradio. Or you can email us that magical place that some seldom use, feedback@geekcastradio.com.
Absolutely.
Unleash the geek. People find you.
I am I'm in my apartment in the state of Washington. Sorry, that's you can't creepy. Come here.
No, you're under quarantine?
No, I'm not under quarantine because apparently quarantine is a bad word. I'm self-distancing.
Yeah, that's called I don't play well with others.
I've been doing that since I was 2 years old in 1982. So, like,
I'm an introvert. That's why I hide behind a microphone.
Exactly. It's like there was one meme. I don't know if you grabbed it for your folder. I'll have to see if I can find it again. It's like, this is the time. Introverts, welcome to our nightmare. This is our time to shine now. Kind of whatever it was that it said about introverts.
Did you see the one that was the alpaca that was running across the field?
No.
It was hilarious. I got to see where I posted that again. I'm pretty sure it was Twitter. I posted it. It had to have been earlier this week. I've been posting a lot of crap, too. Oh, it's here. It says introverts on their way to self-quarantine and sit in their house for 2 weeks. And then it shows, like, an alpaca farm. And there's one alpaca just, like, hopping and skipping along past another alpaca right to his cage. It was ridiculous. I'll send it to you later. But anyways, so you can find me on the Twitter @SCP21. Until next time.
Unleash the geek in you.